Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
Today, I briefly want to bring a conclusion to our series, Discipleship Pathway. If you have not grabbed one of these, just a reminder, there's still some in the welcome lobby. But over the last 3 weeks and concluding today, we've been talking about what does it look like? What is the journey that we are on? We believe that each of us has a spiritual story that is being written. And we want you to become aware of how you're doing in that, looking at what are steps that I can take? Where are invitations of God calling me to grow in my faith. We've talked about just how it is pretty common for seasons to come where we hit settled and unquestioned. We begin to really just have some doubts, and it's okay. That's an invitation. We talked about what do you do when you hit a season of being stuck and stagnant? How do you get out of that? What are some of the things? Well, over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the life of Peter. He's been our case study for this. And today, I want to just look at one last narrative and wrap this up. The narrative with Peter that I want to look at is found in Acts chapter 11. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to summarize much of the story. But what is happening here is Peter has just had this crazy experience where he recognizes that the word of God, the gospel, is for not just the Jews, but for all people, that Christ's death and resurrection is for all. He had this wild experience, and he overcomes some things and sees this new paradigm. He finds himself now eating and just fellowshipping with non-Jews, which was an absolute no in the culture of that day. And so he's returned to Jerusalem, and he's being confronted by a group of religious leaders that are like, we can't believe the stories we're hearing. You're entering the house of Jews, of non-Jews, of Gentiles. How can this be? Explain yourself to us. And Peter begins to retell another narrative that happened earlier in the story. It's a narrative where he has fallen asleep in this town of Joppa, and he has a vision. This sheet falls from heaven, and inside it are all these wild animals. Animals that in his culture of Judaism, you would never kill and eat. And yet the word comes from God, kill and eat, Peter. And he's offended by it. In the vision, he responds. It's like, never, Lord, I've never broken these covenants. I've never eaten anything unclean. And then the voice of God speaks again, Peter, don't call anything unclean that I have made clean, kill and eat. It happens three times before the vision ends and the sheet is taken back up into heaven. Well, right then, we see in the story that there's a knock on the door. And there's these men that have come and said, we've been sent from the house of Cornelius. He has received a vision that you have a message for us of how he and his household can experience salvation. Would you please come with us? It's a weird story. It's a powerful story. But it would take something like this to create a new paradigm. And yet this church in Jerusalem is struggling with this idea. And we pick up the story in verse 15. As I began to speak, Peter continued, the Holy Spirit fell on them, on Cornelius's household, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since God gave us these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who am I to stand in God's way? When the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, we can see that God has also given Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. It's a powerful, powerful story. And here we find Peter defending himself. He's basically like, what do you want me to do? I had a vision. The Holy Spirit fell. He fell on these people. I went. The Holy Spirit fell again. I am just following what God is doing. There is a new paradigm happening. Peter, at this point in his life, has been restored and recommissioned. And since that last moment with Jesus in the Transfiguration, he's spent time waiting. He's been experienced the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He preached a sermon where 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus. He healed a crippled beggar. He raised a young girl to life. And here he is, standing in front of this group, defending what God is doing. If Peter was looking at our discipleship map, I think we would agree. He has finally made it to a life of communion, a life of love. He's steadfast in this confrontation. He's detached from worldly things. He's got courage as he speaks to this church. He's got a sense of mystery. God, what are you doing reaching these other people? It's pretty cool because it seems like Peter has completed the journey. And I want to share this story as we complete the series because, I mean, how amazing is that? Happily ever after for Peter. He's arrived. He's finished the chutes and ladders game. He won. No struggling with what to do next. I'm sure he's never looking at others for affirmation to see what's going on. I'm sure that he's no longer ever ministering with self-effort. Right? No, wrong. You see, it's really interesting because months later, Peter visits a church in Antioch. Paul tells us about it in Galatians chapter 2. And he visits this church in Antioch, and there's another group of Jews that are just offended that the gospel, that the word of God is for non-Jews as well. And they've been coming after Peter. And so in this city, Peter is not eating with the Gentiles. He's not being seen with the non-Jews. And Paul has to call him on his hypocrisy. Paul has to sit him down and say, Barnabas and others are confused by your actions. Why are you wimping out here? Where is your identity, Peter? It's so confusing. Peter, still in a life of communion and love with God, but also finds himself kind of adding back to the healing and surrender stage as well, having to ask some serious questions. Why am I not walking in courage right now? Why am I struggling with the fear of approval? Why am I not embracing the discomfort here? He's got to be saying, are you kidding me? Does this journey ever end? And the answer is no. But we get to be on the journey. And as we continue on the journey, it brings worship to God. Here's the point I want you to walk away with today. Wherever you are on your journey, Jesus is not ashamed to join his life and his mission to yours. Wherever you are, he wants to use you. Imperfect as you might be, that's what he does. Paul's life testifies to it. And it's not just collectively you, or just individually you, but it's collectively us. As a church, he wants to use us. We're doing our best. We're doing our best to bring the peace and the power and the presence of Jesus to our spheres of influence, but we're also imperfect people. But church family, when we unite and do it, it furthers our vision to see this city become a city at peace with God. And friends, today I hope that you see it's happening. God is overflowing through you to our city. And I want to end with this question. Where are you noticing? Where are you noticing the unconditional love of God overflowing to the world around you? I hope that you're seeing it. Peter was answering that group to this group of Jews that were confused there in Jerusalem, and he continued to travel and allow God to use him and his imperfect self, and he was seeing the church expand, and he was seeing God's unconditional love flow through early followers of Jesus. Today is a day where we get to hear stories of what God is doing from different people that are in different stages of their journeys. We get to hear of people that are being the hands and feet of Jesus through Love the City. We get to hear of people that are taking the next step in stage development by being baptized and identifying with Jesus' death and resurrection. We get to hear of powerhouses that are in the nations and are being sent to the nations today. We're all in different places, but the invitation from him is to continue on the journey and to see where he might be inviting you to play a role. Church family, will you engage? We want to end our time together by actually commissioning one of our own couples who are headed to the nations. And so I want to invite Ashley and Julian White to join me on stage. While they do, I want to draw your attention to a picture on the screen because I also want to introduce you to our new freshman cohort at Missio College, our four-year accredited training college here. These are our 9 new freshmen. They are doing awesome. And in fact, this Thursday, they are going on a trip together, a lab experience in the country of Thailand. And so I would ask you to remember them in prayers as they go. I'll be joining them on that trip. It's a class that I get to teach. Brian Candelo, Linda Myers will be joining us as well. But would you keep them in prayer throughout the next 2 weeks as it comes to mind. And the interesting thing about this class is, Julian, 6 years ago, you took this class as a freshman at Missio College. Your picture was up on this screen. We were getting ready to head to Jordan together, and I still remember that experience. And now here we are, and you and Ashley are being commissioned to full-time ministry in Kosovo. And this is a big moment for us as a church. You may notice this picture, and it may be familiar to you, because when we commissioned another Missio alumni couple, Grant and Dakota Shaw, this is the city that they went to, and you are going there to join with what God is doing. Why Kosovo?
Yeah, so our journey with Kosovo actually started last summer with the Shaws. While they were here visiting, they were sharing some prayer requests with us. And one prayer request stuck out to me, that God would prepare and raise up another couple for their field. And so I jotted it down and I began to pray over the next few months. You know, God, somewhere around the world, you're raising up another couple. You're preparing their hearts. And it wasn't until after I graduated from Missio and we began our journey and meeting with the district and national office, people of kind of figuring out where we were going to go. And after a particular meeting, someone asked us, would you guys prayerfully consider Kosovo? Because we think you guys would be a great fit. And it was shortly after that meeting that I realized, oh, we're the couple God's been preparing to go to Kosovo. And so we said yes. And we've just gone through every open door that God has opened for us over this last year.
I love that it wasn't even on your radar, right? I love that. Like, we were praying for ourselves. This is how this works. All right. Tell us what you're going to be doing in Kosovo. We took students there last year, and it was pretty cool to see the center there, and there was rumors that you guys might be coming. So there was this just excitement and anticipation. So it's so cool. It's happening now. What are you guys going to be engaging in?
Yeah, I'll give a little bit of context. Kosovo, though not visibly, is still very much recovering from the war in 1999. And also, less than 3% of people claim Jesus as Lord. And so this community center exists to provide resources and programs to people so that they can thrive in ways that the infrastructure in Kosovo just currently doesn't provide. And also help people recognize their God-given value as the community center seeks to build bridges of hope for people. So we will be co-directors of that community center. I will be doing more of the financial and administrative pieces, and Julian will do a wonderful job of doing maintenance and operations. And together we will continue the work of the volunteer program that's going on, as well as create some community partnerships for ongoing sustainability of the center.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And I know Grant and Dakota are more than excited to welcome you guys. Some good stuff happening there. If they're watching on live stream, love you guys as well. How can we be praying for you guys?
Yeah, so our first prayer request is just in this season of transition. The phrase, healthy goodbyes for healthy hellos, has been really imprinted on our hearts. And so we just ask you that as you'd be praying over us as we say goodbye to family and friends in a church community that we've just grown to love so much over these last 8 years. And then also that God would be preparing our hearts for the people we're going to be meeting in Kosovo and for our team. And then as well as that God is, we know he's already doing work in Kosovo, but that he would continue to prepare the hearts of the people there who will be meeting us. So.
And then with those people that we'll be meeting, we'll need to speak the language Albanian. So if you would please pray that we learn Albanian quickly and easily, not only because that will make life so much easier, but because we really want to be able to communicate care quickly to the people that we're meeting.
Just a little thing. We need to learn another language. Yeah, not a big deal. Hey, I know you guys will be in the lobby afterwards. If you want to partner with them, get on their email list, begin to financially support them as well. They'll also be supported by the Great Commission Fund, and we're excited about that. I know you guys also are in the process. You talk about prep for ministry. One, they've lived in a tiny house the last couple of years to save money so that they can make this thing happen. You're trying to sell it right now. Maybe you have an offer. If we don't and you need a tiny house, talk to them. They'd be happy to sell it to you. But anyway, you guys are just amazing. And today we have the opportunity to commission you. I want to invite all of our elders, pastoral management team. I want to invite Steve Fowler from our district. He's our district rep, as well as Savannah, back up to the stage as we commission this awesome couple. In addition to commissioning them today, we are also conferring ordination upon Julian. Julian has finished all the requirements with our Alliance denomination. He's walked through all of it, had all the interviews, studied all the theology, passed all the exams. Well done, my friend. It has been a long journey, but it's well earned. And so Steve Fowler will be praying a prayer of conferring ordination upon you. And then Travis Ratliff, our pastor of Nations and Neighborhoods, will be doing the commissioning prayer for the two of you. If you feel comfortable and you want to extend a hand, please feel free.
Let's pray together. Lord, we celebrate that this couple is called by you. We celebrate and affirm the call. And we also acknowledge today that Julian has passed all the requirements for ordination. He's been tested and found approved. And Lord, as he steps forward in the ministry, we free him from having to wear Saul's armor. That the structures of the way, the perceived ways that he needs to do ministry, we free him from that. And Lord, we delight in the fact that he will be able to be who he is as he follows his call. But today, Lord, we do place armor on him. We place your armor on him. And Lord, we ask that you would give him everything he needs to resist the enemy in the time of evil, that he would stand firm, that he would put on the belt of truth, that he'd wear those shoes of the gospel of peace, that he'd be fully prepared for that, Lord, that he would hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the evil one. Lord, you put on his head the helmet of salvation, and Lord, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he would pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Lord, I pray a release even of a prayer language for him, that he would draw near to you in deep intimacy. Lord, we believe that the deeper the life of Jesus goes into us, the more powerfully the ministry of Jesus will flow through us. And we pray this over Julian and Ashley today as we celebrate with them. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
God, I thank you for encouraging us with their lives. I thank you that we have seen your peace, your power, your presence in them here. And I just thank you that you get to go with them to Kosovo. And I pray that that peace, power, and presence would continue to flow through them to those people that they love, that you love. And I thank you that they have clear-mindedness to learn a language. And I pray that it would come quickly. And I pray in the coming days and weeks that they would have healthy goodbyes that would lead to really healthy hellos. We thank you for them, we love them, and we bless them. In your name we pray, amen.
We commission you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Would you celebrate this awesome couple with us?
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.